You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Lola Stong Brett. Lola, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hiya, hi. Thanks for having me.
Lola, we're talking about your show, your really exciting show at James Fuentes Galleries. These are large-scale works there. For listeners, they're up for more than another week. So let's talk about this. Sometime, somewhere, someone is dancing. I love the title of this, and I know this came off of a residency with Tracy Emin. Is that correct? That was her residency program you went through in, is it Margate?
Yeah. So I was about 2 years ago, I did a residency with her in Margate. I'm still here at the studios that are called TKE Studios. And basically on the residency, we were asked to do a poem per week on the residency. And it's kind of something I just continued since. So the title for the show is kind of a line I've come up with from one of my own poems, sort of in my sketchbook, basically.
So tell me about that, because I love the whole process and what's happening there. It's obviously such an unusual residency because it's hosted by such an exceptional artist. So tell me again, you had to write a poem every day. That's part of what you were doing there?
Yes, it was like, well, it was a poem every week, but the residency was for 14 months. I finished it now about 2 years ago, maybe, nearly. And so it was 14 months, and you kind of had different projects and different tasks with Tracy and like other artists coming in to advise you. And then it could be different, I don't know, things you had to make or do or write. And then the very final 6 months of the residency was kind of making work, particularly paintings, for a show here at TKE Studios.
Yeah, it must have been very exciting, right? I mean, to talk before we jump into these works, to talk about that residency. How did that residency impact your work in terms of?
Oh my God, it was incredible, really. Like, such a surreal experience. I think firstly, it was like really important because I got to meet a bunch of different artists, and here in Margate in England, it's like I live in like a seaside town. And it's a really nice small town filled with artists. And the residency was just brilliant. You kind of got to meet different people. It was kind of a chance to just have the space and time to make work and kind of have Tracy oversee kind of what you were doing as well. So really good.
And so you're still in those studios, or you're still in Margate near the studios?
Yeah, so I'm still in those studios. So the building has basically got the residency, and then there's rented studios. So now I rent a studio in the same building, but it's a rented studio. I was actually very lucky. I won an award for a free studio for a year after the residency, so I got to stay, and now I'm just renting. So yeah, I love Margate.
Wow, yeah, Margate looks beautiful. I only know it from Tracy's posts that I see sometimes, but but that's it's exciting. So let's talk about the show. All of this work is from this year, right? This is all quite new work, and it's all really large. I mean, this is a show that I imagine took a lot of shipping, right? This is a big
yeah.
show.
Yeah, it's all the works I think were made, I know were made since about January. The show opened on the end of June, so all the works were made this year, and yeah, some of them are, I think the largest one is about 4.5 meters long, so very large, large scale, but I really liked working large scale, and most of my paintings are done in panels, so I could have basically more than one canvas making up one painting.
And let's talk about some of these works. So, these are expressive, these are diaristic, which seems, you know, an influence, right, of Tracy Emin. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how these are built a little bit. Maybe we should begin with On Stage Where You Once Danced. There's a two-panel painting of that name. This is, again, a really large work. There seems to be figurative elements in there, though, that's me trying to pull them out of this. Can you talk a little bit about it? I feel like I see hands, I see figures, I see faces. Is that part of what's happening here that you intend? I see a lot the more I look in terms of emerging figures and even animals.
So basically in all the paintings, it's kind of like a weird mixture between abstraction and figuration. So as you say, that they are diaristic, as in I paint kind of from my everyday. The figures, though they resemble cartoon characters, they are of kind of friends and family and kind of the things I encounter or the things I'm feeling, basically. So the figures in the paintings are actually mostly Popeye, based on the cartoon Popeye. And then there's other characters, like there's a female character I've introduced for this show, who I'm kind of saying I'm not quite sure who she is yet. Like, it could be me, it could be someone I know. And then there's also another character called Bimbo in there as well. But yeah, mostly the large scale, or the large figure in most of the paintings is Popeye. And it's that kind of started a good few years ago when I was painting him, and now he's sort of evolved into my own version of him, basically.
And why those recurring figures? There's obviously a relationship you have to those recurring figures.
Basically Popeye is like Max Fleischer made him in the 1920s, and basically he's one of the first cartoon figures to like to show sort of working class life and everyday life. He was more like gritty and showing gritty kind of scenes compared to the more like fairy tale version of Disney, I'd say, at the time. And actually I got really into him because I got a tattoo of him now years and years ago, because I have quite a few tattoos, and he's in a lot of sort of tattoo imagery and tattoo culture, and sort of separately for those two reasons. So I really loved the visual aspect of him, and then at the same time I was trying to make work which sort of blurred the boundary between high and low end art, and I kind of wanted to bring me and myself coming from a working class background, it's like sort of into this art scene or into the art world. And yeah, so Popeye started to emerge. But yeah, as I say, he kind of started off very small on the canvas and then sort of erupted and now has become that.
And Bimbo is also a companion character in a sense with Popeye, right? The female.
So Bimbo is kind of, I think in the cartoons he's actually more like the companion or like a dog or animal to Betty Boop. But Bimbo I really kind of changed instantly into my own sort of character. And almost some people have said he looks almost like ghostly in some of my paintings. I'd say that almost Bimbo could be like this sort of child or smaller figure, a bit like how you get in kind of medieval or Renaissance paintings when the people are a lot more miniature compared to the other people. So yeah, whereas like Popeye is kind of could be this parent sort of figure or this lover sort of figure. He kind of jumps between the two.
And let's talk about the poems. That seems like I love that writing a poem a week, right? Had you written poetry before that, or how did that work or influence you?
I've actually always written poetry. It's kind of something, it's nice, it's something people are asking me more and more lately. But I kind of really got into writing poems when I was a lot younger, like more like a teenager. I said to someone fairly recently, it's almost like that's what was accessible when you're younger and in your bedroom, and it's kind of like grabbing a pen and paper or pencil and kind of letting it all out somehow. So when you don't have a huge canvas in front of you, it's quite an easy, like, accessible way to express yourself. And nowadays I basically my entire sketchbook is filled up with almost like song lyrics, I guess. So it's almost like lines that I've written or things, kind of titles of things or actual poems, really.
And do the poems make their way into the paintings? What's their relationship to the painting? Because there's text in some of the paintings, but before we get to that, the poems itself, how do they influence the painting?
So the poems is quite interesting. So the poems, I'm quite like adamant about sort of leaving things to chance or fate. And basically the poems, say if I have my sketchbook and then the poems or lines I've written during the time it's taken me to paint the painting. So I look back, say if I've taken, I don't know, X amount of weeks to paint the painting, I look back at my sketchbook to see what I've written during that time, and then that's when I put out the titles for the paintings. So the poems basically become the titles, and then sometimes they stand out enough to become the title of the shows.
And speaking of them as diaristic, right, which you've said, and these are, right, these are, as you said, drawn from like different kind of characters within your life or that are symbols of things. Let's talk a little bit more about that, because these are very specific narrative expressions of some kind, right? Complex, and maybe not meant to be read entirely, but these are by diaristic meaning. If we could talk about one of them, these are coming right from life, right? Let's talk about Yellow Christ and Raft. I mean, that's a pretty evocative title. And now I'm looking for things in there, of course, and we're looking for things like Yellow Christ. But tell me about this one, because this is a beauty, you know, just as a painting, but also it seems to tell a story, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think most of them are almost like world building with sort of multiple meanings. And it's quite interesting for that particular work, and for most of the work, actually, I was really influenced by ships and boats and the concept of a raft, like on the water, on the sea. And so this one, I don't know if you can quite tell, but there's almost like a, like kind of the thicker layers of color basically near the bottom almost form like a raft-like shape. And basically, I do live in Margate, which is a seaside town, but I became very obsessed recently with the idea of ships and something being so fragile and man-made, sitting on a body of water and sitting on something that is completely out of your control and completely, basically something quite powerless sitting on something so powerful. And I think the sea is a really interesting thing, because I think the sea and kind of a ship on the sea can kind of... it kind of like shows you the sort of ebbs and flows of life and kind of one's emotional turmoil and what you can and can't control. I also like to think of it as sort of the ups and downs and people who might enter or leave your life. So, for example, like with this painting, there's a lot of sort of, I'd say, figures kind of reaching and grasping for one another. And you can't quite tell if they're kind of holding on to one another, trying to like save them. I was kind of thinking of like imagery such as Medusa's raft or almost like the Titanic or something. And you don't know if people are trying to grasp and save one another or if they're kind of pushing them away. And then finally, kind of for this one, actually on the left-hand side is the like Yellow Christ figure. And I thought it's kind of like also this imagery of kind of reaching up for the divine and kind of reaching up for this hope or last bits of hope. So yeah, it's odd. It's kind of a bit of a depressing painting, but then the colors sort of make it also like joyful and
Yeah, I mean, when you describe it, it's talking about confrontation, something in a way very very personal. I mean, even a divine force in there. Were these subjects you were thinking about and working on early in your work? Is this a kind of theme that's always been there, this kind of very personal associations with I guess turmoil, right? I mean, is there was this always a theme?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I've always kind of I've always since joining the residency, so now for almost 4 years that I've been in Margate, I kind of, my paintings just looked more and more inwards into my life, but then sort of outwards at my surroundings as well and what I was influenced by. And I think these are sort of themes that have slowly developed over time. I think I'm very intrigued and interested in the concept of loving someone that you shouldn't love, and kind of also the danger or damage of love. And so kind of the idea of wanting someone but also having to let them go. So yeah, that's why all the figures, you're not really quite sure if they're hugging one another or almost punching one another. So in some paintings I've done in the past, it's almost like a boxing ring and a boxing match. And then others, like with this body of work, they're a lot more sort of like almost lovingly hugging one another. So yeah, I'm interested in that sort of binary turmoil and kind of the emotional states of highs and lows, really, which, yeah, kind of similar to heaven and hell.
I like that so much. It must have been so exciting to spend time, it sounds like, and develop a friendship with Tracy Emin, because as a mentor, as a thinker, as a painter, as an amazing person, I would imagine she was powerful to be around, right? I mean, she has a sense of vulnerability that you see among artists sometimes, but it's rare, right? The kind of images she posts of what's happening to her body and other things. There's a kind of an extreme willingness to share vulnerabilities that are rarely shared.
Yeah, I think it's like it's really really beautiful to be like around her and like to be here in Margate and kind of witness that. And I think it's ultimately like just artists and people kind of need to just express what's true to themselves, I guess. And you can't really make it up or kind of So I think it's something Tracy does really wonderfully, where she kind of just is true to herself and paints. I think sometimes she says it's almost like needing to let it all out. And yeah, I can certainly relate to that. It's almost, I like to think that it's almost like when you brew here in England, when you like, in particular, where you brew a cup of tea and you kind of let an idea form and it kind of then explodes. So you almost let it bubble away and then it all comes out of you at some point.
Yeah, I like that analogy. And Margate, I don't know much about Margate, but it seems that town has special qualities, right? I know I read a novel a while ago that was set in Margate. It was sort of about the early shipping business, but what's the feeling or culture of Margate like? And that must be something that's also influencing this work.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Margate is a small seaside town, but it has a lot of there's a lot of creatives living here, and it's quite like almost up and coming. Like there's a lot of galleries and a lot of artists moving in. But traditionally, it was kind of a place where you could escape the city, escape London. I remember coming here as a kid, and my family used to come here a lot as a kid because I'm from London. So it kind of has, I guess. Margate has a slight nostalgia to it, I think, that's also very homely, because it kind of, lots of Margate is still quite old and rickety and kind of only just surviving, but then also lots of it is kind of beautiful in that sense, because it is old, so it's beautiful because you want to preserve it, really.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, it sounds like such a gorgeous place. So what are your plans from now? I mean, this is a really exciting New York show for all listeners. I hope everyone gets to see it. What are the plans after this New York show? Because this is very exciting for you, right? This is a great show in New York and a big show.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been an absolute brilliant show. And I'm so thankful for James Fuentes and everyone at the gallery, because, yeah, it's been incredible to show in New York and to be there and get to go and see it. And yeah, I think now, so I have a gallery, so as well as working with James, I have a gallery here in Margate called Carl Friedman Gallery. So I'll be working lots more with them in the upcoming years, I think. But yeah, mostly now I'm kind of experimenting, and I've got a few art fairs coming up. So Freeze in Miami, so that'll be before January. But right now I'm actually in the studio kind of just trying. I mean, we spoke about letters and words being in my paintings before, and I'm kind of experimenting with that and even experimenting with a bit of sculpture as well right now.
Well, that's really exciting. Lola, it's been great talking to you. I want to ask you one off-topic question before we go. What are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading Goldfinch by Donna Tartt, and it's absolutely incredible. I love it. So, yeah, a real page turner.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you for talking with me today. I wish you really well with this show and beyond. Again, Lola, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been brilliant.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.